Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. If I were to ask you if you had obeyed the gospel, would you have any idea what I meant? Tragically and inexplicably, there are millions of Americans who have no idea what the gospel is. So how could they obey it? How can you believe and obey that which you do not know or do not understand? Paul mentioned the word of the truth of the gospel, which had come to the Colossians, and which was producing fruit in them. Colossians 1, 5 and 6. He also expressed concern that the Colossians would be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which they had heard, and which had been preached to every creature under heaven. Colossians 1, 23. Both of these verses use the word gospel, as do many other verses throughout the New Testament. But that does not mean that everyone knows what the gospel is, because millions of our fellow countrymen are not reading their Bibles and make no pretense of doing it. The Greek word euangelion is always rendered gospel in the King James Version, although it could as easily have been translated good news or glad tidings, as the verb form occasionally is. Romans 10:15 is one example. But we could have good news about hundreds of different items. If your husband or son were engaged in a war on foreign soil, and you learned he was on his way home, would that not be good news? If your rich uncle died and left you $10 million, that would be both good news and bad news. The good news would be that you had inherited so much money, but the bad news would be that you had lost your uncle. I guess it depends on how much you loved your uncle as to whether the good news outweighed the bad. The good news I'm discussing with you far outweighs any other good news you could receive in this life. Paul does not seek to be exhaustive in his discussion of the good news about Christ, but we do need to pay attention to his words. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. You can see from these two verses how important the gospel is. Paul had preached it to the Corinthians. They had received it and were standing in it. It was also the means by which they were being saved, if they kept in their memories what they had heard. Do you remember what Paul wrote to the Roman Christians? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1, 16 and 17. But none of these verses tells us what the gospel is. Please listen to what Paul told the Corinthians about the gospel which he had preached unto them. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 5. The great facts which Paul recited constitute the very heart of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead, and he was seen by many witnesses. Some false teachers tragically attempt to limit the gospel to these great truths, but that is a serious mistake. Actually, the gospel includes all the great truths of the New Testament, which God has given for our edification. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.